and beauty and everything that flies. Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. NASCAR tours converge in New Hampshire. IndyCar battles the streets in Toronto. Sprint cars race through Indiana's Sprint Week in the 33rd annual Kings Royal. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, July 18th, 2016. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us. It is so hot down here in the South that Jeff is actually putting ice in his scotch. How are you, Daddy Jay?
You ruined my reputation, man.
Everybody knows your reputation. You know? Okay. You don't always take it neat. You don't always take it neat. Sometimes you need some rocks.
Yep. Anyway. So,
how was vacation?
Do what? Vacation.
Summer vacation, yeah.
Jerry called it a vacation, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great, though, man. I really had a good trip out to Knoxville to cover the Para Long Drive Cup, long drive competition. Bunch of work. We did 15 or 16 videos, and I posted my article yesterday on it, along with several of the 1,000 photos I took and the videos and all that. So, good deal, man. Got those guys some badly needed exposure, and did my job, man.
When you were telling us about this a few weeks ago, back in late June, I believe, gave our audience the upcoming schedule. I was fascinated by these athletes that you were describing to me. I know this is an auto racing show, but I can't help. I like telling, in motorsports, I like telling good stories. What you did here for the Para Long Drive competition, these are athletes with great stories. I can't hear enough about this, what you did out there.
Yeah, and if anybody's interested in those, like I am, you can go to our sister website, thegolfdirector.com. And find the article's there on the front page. Find it. It's the 2016 Para Long Drive Cup. And you can hear each one of the competitors' story. And I feel so attached to these guys, Patrick. I feel like there was some reason 4 years ago that we crossed paths, and I think it's my job, my duty, to help these guys compete on a grander stage because – you know, in everyday life, we all have all kinds of obstacles, and we fuss about everything, complain about everything. There's nothing but smiles and gratitude from these guys here, and they've overcome much more than you and I will ever think about overcoming. Many of them, the stories are just unbelievable until you have it. And then you go out there and you see them doing what they do. I mean, what's Jared Brent's won? I think this was his 7th championship, and he's a double amputee below the knee, and hits the golf ball further than the able-bodied pros. Unbelievable.
Amazing stories. Yeah. Certainly setting an example for the rest of us, too, in sports dedication, and most importantly, I think, attitude towards life.
Absolutely. One of the guys, Brendan Jacks, was a troubled youth and was involved in drugs and alcohol and things. He decided to take his life and took a 12-gauge shotgun and attempted to shoot himself in the head with it. He and his father wrestled for the shotgun and in the process shot himself in the leg. Well, he ended up losing his leg and saving his life. And now he's a big proponent to try to help people get through alcohol and drug addiction and things like that, and he's a great athlete and a great representative for good things, man. You know, just these guys come to this competition and they get to compete not only against other people, but they compete against themselves, their personal best, and it's a cool deal.
no better reason in the world for us to take a night off from Racers Reunion Radio. give you a chance to work this, give everybody there some much needed exposure and tell the story, the most important aspect of it. One more time, where can people go read, see photos, all your coverage of that?
TheGolfDirector.com. And check the 2016 Para Long Drive Cup article there, and you can read my article. You can see the highlight video and the interviews of the athletes that competed, most of them anyway, and see the photographs that that I took there. And for 2 days, I was photographer, videographer, DJ, and anything else they needed.
Chief cook and bottle washer. Yeah.
Hey, these guys like to listen to hard rock and roll when they're hitting a golf ball. I love that, man.
Most people, the pros, they want it quiet, right?
Yeah, except for one guy. He came over and says, man, you got any Hank Williams?
There we go.
So I played Just Call Me Hank for him.
Well, that's going to be my first stop, thegolfdirector.com, as soon as we finish working here tonight. We've got Speedway Report here until 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Then the next hour, racing and rocking here on Racers Reunion Radio. So a big Monday night. We're back on the air, happily to have all three live shows back on the air. Jeff, been working hard on this end, too, to fill the audience in, and a little bit of you as well. Since we last were on the air, we had the new electronic equipment installed, new mics, mixer. We've got some additional equipment and wires in here, and the Speedway Report changeover continues. We've tested the cameras for television, and now we're, I guess, in the badging / marketing stage. I've been working with a print and sign company here locally around Lake Norman. What the heck? I'll say the name, The Signpost. Cute name for a sign shop, The Signpost. A friend of mine, and he is working on some vinyl, some shirts, some cards, some letterhead. I've got the quotes and the artwork over to him. He's got some information back to me, so that's an ongoing process here. So I'm kind of, you did a lot of the electronic work. I say I helped you. I really sort of watched you and got you a beer when you needed one. And then left me alone. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the most, it's kind of like, how do you do this without a beer? I ran to the fridge, got you a beer, and was a good wife to you while you were up here visiting, working on this. So I'm working on that end of it, marketing, badging, promotion.
I saw you did a first Speedway Report Facebook Live broadcast a few minutes ago.
Yeah, we did. I think we've done a few as kind of like goofy test runs. Got some constructive feedback on them, and this was more of a real. These I think we'll see more of. Facebook Live. Head to the Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds Facebook page. You can see it right there. It's a little promo of the show we put up about 30 minutes ago, just telling people, hey, tune into Racers Reunion Radio. We're coming on the air shortly. Check us out. Hopefully they tuned in. So, yeah, we're definitely, I guess, walking before we run. But, yeah, a lot of little things to make all this happen. I guess I didn't know what I was getting into or the impression, but I thought, well, yeah, you'll come up, put in some stuff, whatever that is, and boom, we do TV. And there's all these little details and knickknacks that I'm trying to work around to get right, I guess, so to speak. And,
yeah, there's more to it than folks think.
Yeah, including me. As we got into, which I'm not, that's not a complaint, just more of an observation. Like, well, yeah, let's do a TV show, and I can flip the button anytime. And I thought, well, what are people actually looking at and hearing? Wait a minute, let me work on all that first, because I want to put our best foot forward at all times and make this, worth their time to come by and visit, watch, view, and check out our auto racing podcasts here. Speaking of time, something you and I will talk with soon too, Jeff, because that's an ongoing topic as far as broadcast time and things of that nature. But yeah, we'll get to that. I don't have to bore the audience with stuff like that. Buddy, good to have you back. I guess we're coming around to that full circle. Good to have you back.
Glad
good
to be
on
here,
the air.
Man. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Good to have you down at the beach. Good to see and hear all of you tuning in tonight, as well as our chat rooms. I flick on over to the stock car site, and right down there at the bottom, the name that I've got to stay on my toes for, Tim Leeming, the legend, is in the house in the chat room. Tim, good to see you tonight. Leon's there. Larry's there. Danny Whitener is also with us. And over on the drag racing side, Thomas Warren is checked in. Barb is with us as well. If you'd like to do a little bench racing yourself, join our chat rooms. Head to racersreunion.com and then you can just sign into the stock car site or the drag racing site, or do what I do. I log into both. In between the show, when I have a chance, or commercial breaks, well, feel free to bench race and chat with the guys there, and the legend might poke me a little bit here because I enjoy the banter. And I know my friend Leo down in Brazil is listening because he tweeted me a short while ago giving us a plug to all his friends down in the Southern Hemisphere. Thank you, everyone. I hope you're listening and enjoying the show. Coming up tonight on Speedway Report are your phone calls about anything in the world of racing. What I'm going to do is switch it up a little bit here. Phone lines, we'll open them up right now. I'll open them up on the first half of the show. Our guest segment usually takes place earlier. It's going to happen a little bit later in the show, so I do have time to talk to you on the first part. The number, if you would like to call in, 843-272-1900. And like I said, just call in, pick a topic. I've got a few to toss up to you if you're interested. And as always, a reminder to like our Facebook page. It is Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. And my Twitter handle is at Speedway Pat. And this is cool. Coming up as our special guest tonight is Super Shoe. Corey LaJoy will be with us. Corey returns to the show after winning the NASCAR K&N Pro Series East Race Saturday afternoon in Loudoun, New Hampshire. He pulled double duty and was also in the Xfinity race. So we will talk to this third-generation driving star, Corey LaJoy, about his big New Hampshire weekend later in the show. So like I said, give us a call right now if you want. What will get people back to Loudoun, New Hampshire for a weekend? All those empty seats on Sunday did not go unnoticed. Can Will Power legitimately win an IndyCar championship? He missed the opening race at St. Petersburg. He is right back in the thick of things. Will Jeff Gordon drive at Indianapolis this week? My gut is telling me, and I'll tell you what my gut tells me a little bit later. What track did you go to? Do you think Matt Kenseth should keep the win at New Hampshire? He failed inspection. What do you think? 843-272-1900. Give me a holler. I'd like to talk to you. Right now, let's hit up our Motor Week, yeah, old habits die hard. Speedway Report, Victory Lane Lap. I'll give you all the results of who won what on the major touring series here in these grand old United States of ours. The Sprint Cup cars were in Loudoun, New Hampshire yesterday. Matt Kenseth won by almost 2 seconds over Tony Stewart. Joey Logano was third. Kevin Harvick was fourth after a tough day on pit road. Greg Biffle was fifth as the Roush cars are showing more and more strength all of the time. Kenseth's car failed post-race inspection last night on the laser grid. It is hauled back. It is in Concord, North Carolina, either there or on the way. They'll check that car out. We should hear more on the penalty in the upcoming days. We will follow that story for you. The Xfinity Tour was also in Loudoun, New Hampshire on Saturday. Kyle Busch had his way in the 200-lap Saturday afternoon matinee. The top five were Eric Jones, Brad Keselowski, Daniel Suarez, and Austin Dillon. The NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour graced the flat mile at New Hampshire as well. Friday's 35-lap All-Star Shootout was won by Bobby Santos. Woody Pitcat and Todd Zegarty crashed in turns 3 and 4. As they were coming to the checkered flag, Santos jumped from fourth to winner's circle. Eric Goodale, Ron Silk, Ryan Preece, and Doug Kobe were second through fifth. And on Saturday, Kobe led the final 6 laps of the New England 100 and won over Donnie Leah. Patrick Emerling was third, Silk was fourth, and Ryan Newman fifth. NASCAR's K&N Pro Series East Tour was the fourth NASCAR division in Loudoun, and tonight's special guest, Corey LaJoy, won Saturday's United Site Services 70, leading the final 34 laps and withstanding a green-white checkered finish. Todd Gilliland was second, and Justin Haley was third. Kyle Benjamin and Austin Terrell completed the top five. North of the border in Toronto, Ontario, the Indy cars were on the streets of the streets of Toronto. I gave that away already. Will Power used a strong car and strong pit strategy around the street course north of the border to take the lead late and then hold off the field in a one-lap dash to the finish. Power's Penske teammate Elio Castroneves was second ahead of favorite home countryman James Hinchcliffe. Tony Kanaan was fourth and Takuma Sato was fifth. Now this win vaults Power to second in the championship standings behind leader Simon Pagenaud. This after Power missed the opening race in St. Petersburg. I think there's a little bit of a tie-in here between Will Power and Dale Earnhardt Jr. The Lucas Oil late models raced Friday night in Granite City, Illinois. Scott Blomquist passed Earl Pearson Jr. with three laps to go on the 50-lap feature for the win. Third through fifth were Don O'Neill, Brandon Shepard, and Dennis Erb Jr. On Saturday, they towed over to Wheatland, Missouri, where Jared Landers won the Diamond Nationals for his second win of the season. Second through fifth were Jimmy Owens, Jonathan Davenport, Tim McCready, and Blomquist. The World of Outlaw late models were rained out in Grand Forks, North Dakota. That race was canceled with really no makeup date in sight. Now, the World of Outlaw sprints had a very, very big week as they began their month of money. They had a three-night stand in Rossburg, Ohio, culminating with the Kings Royal on Saturday. Let's back it up to Thursday. Connecticut native David Gravel won the inaugural Joker's Wild and $10,000. Donnie Schatz was second, followed by Rico Abreu, Kerry Madsen, and Logan Schuchart. On Friday night, the annual night before the Kings Royal, was won by Darren Pittman, ahead of Schatz, Abreu, Craig Kinzer, and Gravel. Then Saturday, for the Kings Royal, Schatz made good on his runner-up finishes Thursday and Friday to step up to win, be crowned King Donnie the 33rd, and bank the $50,000 first place prize. Schatz your winner ahead of Abreu, Brad Sweet, Greg Wilson, and Brian Brown. And not to be outdone, the USAC sprint cars had a very big week with Indiana Sprint Week last Wednesday night at Terre Haute. That was rained out and moved to Sunday. So on Thursday in Putnamville was won by Brady Short. Friday in Bloomington, Brent Beauchamp was your winner. On Saturday at Hobstadt, Carson Short won. And last night was your winner was Chase Stockin. With all the points tabulated, Brady Bacon is the 2016 Indiana Sprint Week champion. In Grandview, Pennsylvania, the Firecracker 40-lap late model race was won by Rain File, Small Block Modifieds by Kyle Weiss, and the Sportsman Main by Brian Pappas. And unfortunately, locally here, my chance to see a good show on Saturday night was rained out. Thunderstorms came through, and the Bowman Gray Stadium here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, fell victim to the weather. With that, let's step away for our first commercial break of the evening. And on the other side, we'll open up the phone lines for you. I've got some things I want to talk about a little bit further. And if you want to chat with me, go right ahead, 843-272-1900. You're listening to Speedway Report. I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back right after this.
Bimini's Oyster Bar and Seafood Cafe has been serving nothing but the freshest shellfish and fish since 1985, beginning with the original location in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and now including an inland location in Greenville, South Carolina. A local's favorite, Bimini's offers live entertainment in season in a year-round vacation atmosphere. Take a trip to the islands inland. Bimini's Oyster Bar, where there are no bad days. Check out the events calendar on the website at www.biminisoysterbar.com or click the banner here on Shack City, USA.
Shack City, USA and Beach Music Scene Magazine are proud to welcome Ginger Jewelry to our family. Check them out on the inside front cover of the latest edition of Beach Music Scene Magazine or go to their website at www.gingerjewelry.net. That's Ginger, J-I-N-J-A, gingerjewelry.net. Check out this fantastic selection of handcrafted Balinese jewelry. That's Ginger Jewelry, gingerjewelry.net.
Welcome back to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Hello to you too, legend. Not even picking on me tonight. He's in the chat rooms saying hello. He's nice and polite. He's bragging how he can listen to the radio and check emails at the same time. I mean, you know, I can talk and walk. I start chewing gum, I get tripped up a little bit, but I try not to do too much at the same time. But good to have a legend there and everybody else along with us. I've try to tease Tim a bit, throw some rocks at the bear there, see if he can growl at me back and tell him he's probably. I think the first thing on his mind if he were to call in would be comment on NBC's NASCAR coverage, because he misses the guys of Fox so much. He's a big fan of Daryl and Mikey, so I'm sure
he's having Daryl and Mikey withdrawals right now. I guarantee it.
Oh, don't tell me you went to Tennessee and he was begging you for a ride, you know, to go up there and see the boys up in Franklin.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. He
sure
was. Yep.
You know, Daryl and Mikey up there visiting mom and dad. Yeah. So I know he's going through withdrawals with Fox with no Mikey and no Daryl. How you holding up, Jeff? I mean, you know, is he like cry a lot on Tuesdays too?
Yeah, it's hard to deal with. We have therapy sessions with him to help him get through this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure if it's working or not. He's a very complex individual, and it's hard to tell, you know. Sometimes mm-hmm. when you think you're making headway, it's just not the case. But we'll get him through it, man. We're getting through it.
I don't think he's a lost cause. I think we got to keep with it.
I do, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's worth it.
Oh, absolutely. He's a jewel. He's a treasure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I know, you know, Sunday afternoons, he's probably ready for a new Danica Patrick T-shirt, because I think that thing's worn out. You know, wearing
he wears
every
it
like
every it. Single day, dude.
Yeah. 7 days a week. You saw a couple years ago, we got him one at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, me and Coastal Jack.
Yep.
Got him those Danica T-shirts. So yeah, yep. I mean, you could probably see through those things by now.
Yep.
So he needs some new. He needs some new Ten gear.
Yeah, he does. You're right, and I think that might help a little bit too.
Might ease up the tension on Tuesdays. Yeah. You know, with the legendorial always on edge like that. But anyway.
He likes that shirt, and he's got one of those top hat things like Mikey Waltrip wears every now and then.
Yeah.
With that shirt, Danica's shirt, and that top hat, the dude is on cloud nine.
I was just thinking. I just had an image.
Yep.
Of Tim at the next Bell and Bell Modified race doing his grid walk.
There you go, the grid walk.
Huh?
Yep.
Huh?
Oh, I got it. Yep.
Right.
That's the ticket right there.
The see-through Danica shirt.
I can see it right now.
Mikey's topper and him doing the grid walk, doing the interviews.
Yep.
Score. Because I know he's admiring the Waltrip so much, so he's, you know, mimicking, you know, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
That's what they say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be good. I'll see if I can talk to the boys. We'll talk to the bopper and Jack, and we'll see if we can arrange that. Get a pit legend as the pit reporter down there.
We could set that up.
That'll work. Yeah. You know, he's not one of those pretty blondes like Fox employs, but he could do it all right. I think he'd be fine. The drivers would certainly warm up to him. That'd be cool. Well, I'm looking at the call, 843-272-1900. No sign of the legend, but if any of you would like to chime in and tease him a little bit or actually talk some serious racing, I'm up for it either way. Let's start with first item on my list, not necessarily the biggest, but one of the big ones. Matt Kenseth, his car failed post-race inspection yesterday. What do you think? If precedence holds true, he is likely will get a monetary fine and points penalty, and the win will stand. Me, personally, I'm not in favor of that. I come from, you know, I grew up on the short tracks where if you were illegal, you were disqualified from the race. There was not a penalty. You were thrown out, and if the second place car passed tech inspection, he moved up to the win. You could go down to the third place, fourth place car, what have you, and you could just find a winner that way. NASCAR Major League Touring Series like you to leave the racetrack knowing who the winner is and then slap the penalty on there afterwards. This brings up a couple of varying points. One, with this chase format, this would be Kenseth's second win of the year, so it, you know, gives him in a very secure lock position for the chase. What harm is there in some points and some money? Not enough money and not enough points. You know, it depends on how serious or high they go with either one. NASCAR does. So I don't know if it really hurts them that much on this. And two, going back to NASCAR's vision of we like you to know who won when you left the racetrack theory, if I were to buy a ticket to a race, watch the race, have the guy take the checkered flag, and on my way home or the next night or the next morning, what have you, I hear that the guy was illegal, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, what did I just see then? So did I really leave the racetrack knowing who won? I'm in favor of disqualifying guys. This was a hot topic today on Sirius NASCAR broadcast, and it was a topic that I heard last night rolling through my head, really. I didn't need any prompting from those guys to come up with this. But that was something on my head. Is like, what are we actually seeing that in generally in sports, if someone cheats, which I use that term loosely with air quotes here because I know how racing works, somebody cheats, you shouldn't get the win. Now, I don't for once believe, you know, that Matt Kenseth is a cheater. I think he's a clean racer, but he's also just the driver of these things. He knows and build them. And the way these cars are built nowadays, from what I see around here at Mooresville, there's just the nth degree of tolerance. They are allowed tolerances on all these rules, but now we're talking laser-like measurements, not tape measure, but laser-like measurements to, you know, check out a car, the skew of the suspension, how the body is on it, and things of that nature. And there really is an extremely small margin of error. A lot of things could happen to a car when these guys, I don't know how many of you mechanically inclined with how race cars work, but they don't come equipped with coilovers with the springs over the top of the shocks. They got big springs, heavy springs that go up and down on the suspension. When you see those crew members jack those wrenches in and out of the rear window and they're adjusting the suspension on the car, that does raise and lower the car. It adjusts the angle on it. They have a bar there that adjusts the track bar, which also known as a Panhard bar, which centers the rear end left to right. And those adjustments are built into a car. Teams use them to make the car, you know, try to adjust on it during pit stops to make it go faster, but it does change the measurements in the car. It could be that nth of a degree. So it's extremely possible where a team is not, as we go back to the word I used a few moments ago, cheating, but they failed inspection. Those are not necessarily synonymous with one another. Either way, if you're going to have post-race tech, pre-race tech for the car, I'm in favor of disqualifying a guy and taking the win away, moving the other cars behind them up in the running order. Not a Matt Kenseth fan, not a Tony Stewart fan per se, but Tony Stewart's car did pass inspection yesterday, so he's good to go. I do not believe we will see a win taken away from Matt Kenseth. A stiff penalty, with the chase in hand, yeah, NASCAR may have to get creative on this to give him a hard slap on the wrist, but I just don't see a win being taken away in this form. Highly doubt it. Got some other things we'll talk about. We'll try to get to them a little bit later in the show. Right now, I want to step away for our second commercial break of the evening because on the other side, I want to talk to a winner from one of the many NASCAR races in New Hampshire over the weekend. Corey LaJoie took the checkered flag in the K&N Pro Series East race on Saturday. We'll talk to him about the win and his big weekend as he pulled double duty up in the Magic Mile. You are listening to Speedway Report. I'm Patrick Reynolds. We'll be back right after this.
Race day rock, drive it like a guitar. Race day. you're looking to play some golf in the Myrtle Beach area, just call Dave at the Golf Director, 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Just call Dave. Dave can get you on the course with the best rates on the Grand Strand. Just call Dave. If you're a little shy and you don't like talking on the phone, just chat with Dave. Go to thegolfdirector.com in the lower right-hand corner, click chat. In a few seconds, you're going to be chatting live with Dave. Dave has some of the best golf packages offered anywhere. Just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Tell your friends to tweet at the Golf Director. Hashtag just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. Just call Dave at the Golf Director.
Welcome back to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And welcome to Speedway Report, winner of the NASCAR K&N Pro Series East Race in Loudoun, New Hampshire. After doing double duty up there at the Magic Mile, Corey LaJoy joins us. How are you tonight, Super Shoe?
Oh, man, I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Congratulations on the win. It's been, geez, a few years since you were in winner's circle in the East Series. How did it feel?
It's been a few years since I was in victory lane in any series, so it feels good to get back up there.
You pulled off double duty in the Xfinity race and the East Series race. I'd like to pick apart your weekend a little bit, one at a time, kind of separate out the two and tell the story of both races. First of all, tell me about the Xfinity team you drove for. Was this the same one you were at Daytona a few weeks ago?
Yeah, that was JGL. JGL Racing was the team that I was with for Daytona, and then three races earlier in the year, the West Coast Swing. Mm-hmm. And we ran okay there. We ran about 18th, then 20th. That's about par for the course over there. So we qualified 20th in New Hampshire. We'd really thought race was a little better than that. We just couldn't get the front to quit chattering on new tires for some reason, whether the air wasn't right or just it didn't like the stickers. But anyways, qualified 20th and didn't have a lot of confidence going in as bad as we were in qualifying, but dropped the green, the pace kind of slowed down and it fell right into our hands, and we started picking them off. Got to about 14th the first run, come in, had a good pit stop, picked up a couple spots, dropped the green again, and got to 10th, and about 6th through 10th were under a blanket, and I feel like I was better than those guys, and come off two, and the right rear shock mount broke off, and it right into the fence. So we knocked the front and rear clip off of it, and ended our day, unfortunately.
Yeah, early into the Xfinity series race for you. Shock mount broke off. Did it crack? Did a weld break? Did you have a good look at the piece that saw what took you out?
It was a billet piece where the bolts holding it together were still actually on the truck arm, and all the places that were scalloped out around the bolts sheared off. So the part was still the bolts were still attached to the truck arm, and the mount was still attached to the shock, but the shock wasn't attached to the race car anymore. So
yeah,
it handled like it had a flat tire, which ultimately it obviously did get a flat tire once we smacked the fence off.
Well, let's turn the conversation around to something brighter. Same series of questions. Let's start with the East team. Who did you drive for there?
The team was Rainier Racing with MDM, and they've won a couple races this year with Kyle Benjamin, and Spencer Davis won one at Dominion. They've been really fast every week. A lot of smart guys working over there, a lot of good race cars. And the seat came open there with the 41, the car that Spencer was driving, and we were able to make it work with Gendinato Parts, and CarQuest came on board to make the bottom line end up working. And it was a perfect storm with how it worked out. The timetable was pretty much a last minute deal, but expectations were high to go out there and run good for as much experience as I have there at New Hampshire and in the K&M Pro Series, and luckily we lived up to those expectations.
Yeah, it sounded like, you know, when I followed the race basically the weekend from down here in Charlotte, that with the Pro Series East car, right off the truck, you were in the mix, one of the fastest cars there in practice and qualifying, and just really the car to beat right out of the truck.
Yeah, well, I mean, them guys, Doug Howe was my crew chief, and Matt Ross, and I mean, there's three or four guys on that car that are really good, and they know what they're doing, and I knew we were going to be good off the truck. They have really good setups pretty much everywhere they go, and I was just the guy that was able to push a button for them this weekend.
Mm-hmm. When you're driving that race in the East Series, so much different than the Xfinity car, did you feel like you were in control of the race, had the winning car, and just didn't need to make a mistake, and that race was yours to win? Is that the feeling you had with that car?
Well, the beginning of the race, or the first half of the race, pretty much, Kyle Benjamin was leading, my teammate, and me and him were pretty much tick for tack for the first whole run, and that dirty air when I was running about 3-4 car lengths behind him, I wasn't really able to get much closer to him. But on the other hand, I was going about 80%, and I don't know how much Kyle was saving, but I knew I wanted to save some for the end, and also didn't want to show him all my all the things I learned during the Xfinity race, using different lines to help make the car do what she needed to do. So I kind of let him do his thing in the beginning, and we got a long red flag right there at the halfway break, and we were a little bit free before that, but during that red flag, the whole track got shaded, so it tightened up for us. I knew it was going to be time to go, so we get that restart. I was able to get around him on the outside and pretty much hold the lead from there, and I was able to kind of maintain a 6-7 car length lead, and then we got a couple short restarts there right at the end with a green white checkered. Mm-hmm. Pulled a couple tricks out of the bag and was able to get it.
Very nice. How similar is an Xfinity car to an East car from the cockpit? In other words, the feel to drive them. How close are they?
It's actually pretty damn close. The biggest difference is the tires. From the Xfinity series, they have the radials, so they have a lot of grip laterally and forwards. But the room for error is a lot smaller. Once you get slip in with those things, it's hard to recover, as opposed to the bias plies, where they're a little bit slicker and they have a lot more sidewall movement, and the room for error is much bigger. You can really get out of shape and not even really be a thing. You can kind of just get it back because the tire slips so much anyways, even when you're going straight. So whenever you slip it a little bit more sideways, it's not a big deal. So just going from the radial tires and the Xfinity cars, jumping in those bias plies, it was a pretty easy step. And I felt, you know, first corner, first lap, we were able to get going pretty well.
What is next for you as far as a schedule from behind the wheel?
I'm not sure if I'm going to do any more Can-Am races. I would like to do Dover just because I've had success there in the past, especially as good a car as Rainier and MDM Racing was putting out. I'd jump in one of those any week they asked me to. I have 5 more Xfinity races with JGL with U-Theory on board with us. The next one is Bristol, then I go to Dover, and then close out the year with Texas, Phoenix, and Homestead. So I got a couple decent races there. They're building some nice cars over at JGL. A really nice intermediate car that we're going to take to Texas, Phoenix, and Homestead last 2 intermediate races. So hopefully we can get some speed out of that thing and run, from 10th to 15th. Which would be really good for, as soon as you show up to an Xfinity race, you have to beat 3 Gibbs cars, a Penske car, 3 junior cars, Roush cars, and then you got RCR cars. And all those people put together, it's hard to beat those, no matter how good your car is driving, just with how good their bodies are and how good their bump stop packages are and how good their underbody aero is and how strong their motors are and how experienced the drivers are. So it's really fighting uphill battle over there in that garage, but I've learned a lot. I feel like I've grown a lot as a driver even the last couple of years, and hopefully one day I can get in one of those top eight cars where I really feel like I can go up there and compete for the win.
Mm. Your driving starts have been somewhat intermittent over the past several years. What have you been doing in between the time you've been climbing in the window of a race car?
Well, last year I didn't race hardly any, just because I didn't have any partner, money-wise, to get me going. And I really thought my driving career was about over, and I was crew chiefing for a couple guys. I crew chiefed for David Mayhew out west. We won three races out there, so that career path was looking like the one I was going to have to be going down. But luckily, at the end of the year, the Youth Theory people came to me and said I fit their brand well, and they liked the way I carried myself. And luckily enough, they had a little bit of money to go racing, and I shopped that amount around. And JGL had the best bang for the bucks. That's where I landed, and got about 10 races for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to make those people happy as I can to make them come back next year for maybe even more money, so we can keep building on a program we have and eventually get to where I'm competing for wins every week in Xfinity Series.
So that's your deal right now, is you have a select amount of races set for 2016, but really nothing beyond that.
Yeah. There's always talk and you know what you want to do and what stuff might be able to come together, but at the end of the day, it's how much money can you find, and if you have a little bit of money, then you can get in a car with a little bit of potential, and if you have a lot of money, then you can get in a car with a lot of potential.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weighing the fact, would you rather take three races in a really good car and risk, you know, tearing something up or getting caught up or getting blown up, and then your two or three races are done, or do 10 races in a B-minus car and gain seat time. And I feel like I'd really needed the seat time, because it's been a while since I've never really gotten comfortable in an Xfinity car yet, and I've only had four races up to this point, and now I have about nine. So I'm still getting used to these Xfinity cars, getting used to the drivers, getting used to the track. This is actually the first Xfinity race last week, or, you know, New Hampshire, that I've been to the track beforehand. Track before that, it was just pretty much, here you go, learn the car, learn the track, good luck. and we didn't have much success, just because, you know, I get in there and try too hard and set the car up, or we get in a bad position where, you know, somebody else catches up in their own mess. And I've learned a lot from that, and I feel like I'm surrounded by a pretty good group of people right now that have my best interest, and that's big. So hopefully just keep riding this momentum from the Can-Am Pro Series win. And, you know, obviously I would like to be running the Xfinity Series every week, but anytime you can kind of get down with a good car and get a little bit of a confidence booster, it's always good.
Absolutely. How's your mom and dad doing?
They're good. They weren't able to go to the race, but I had a lot of uncles and aunts and cousins up there, all hanging out, cheering for me. So that was cool. And dad's just kind of hanging around and selling seats and trying to keep people safe.
Did Grandpa make it up for the New Hampshire race?
No, he didn't. He got knee surgery, so he wasn't going to be able to ride in the car for that long, but I'm sure he was tuned in. I'm actually going to call him after I get off the phone here. I haven't talked to him yet, but I talked to him on Saturday morning about some things we were fighting with that Xfinity car, and that son, his damn wheels were spinning all day. He called me four or five times. You need to try some caster in the left front. You need to try some little vacuum in the right front. You know, and I'm like, Pepe. It's an impound race. They can't touch it anymore. Oh, okay.
Well, he's definitely old school when I used to watch him at Danbury. So it's good that he's that involved, that he picks up the phone and talks to you and wants to help you out a little bit. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely still sharp as a tack. And I still learn something from him pretty much every time I talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hard to substitute experience with all that. Well, Corey, I appreciate the time tonight. Thank you so much for coming on our show. Congratulations on winning on Saturday. And we wish you the best of luck down the road. We hope to see you out the racetrack on a regular basis real soon.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, Corey, you have a great evening. Thanks for talking to us.
You too, yeah.
Corey LaJoy, everyone, double duty driver in New Hampshire on Saturday and winner in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series East Race right after the Xfinity show. Time for another break right now. When we return, we'll hit on a few more hot points, whatever we got time for. You are listening to Speedway Report. I'm Patrick Reynolds. We'll be back right after this.
Looking to play some golf in the Myrtle Beach area, just call Dave at the Golf Director, 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Just call Dave. Dave can get you on the course with the best rates on the Grand Strand. Just call Dave. If you're a little shy and you don't like talking on the phone, just chat with Dave. Go to thegolfdirector.com in the lower right-hand corner, click chat. In a few seconds, you're going to be chatting live with Dave. Dave has some of the best golf packages offered anywhere. Just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Tell your friends to tweet at the Golf Director. Hashtag Just Call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. Just call Dave at the Golf Director.
Tee it up. Where we gonna hit them today? Tee it up. Got my sticks. I'm on my way.
Welcome back to Speedway Report. I'm Patrick Reynolds. Running a little late in the show. Got to get out of here soon. One thing I wanted to touch on before we signed off for tonight. And that's Dale Earnhardt Jr. Have a lot of respect for him for stepping out of his race car in this day that want to be tough guys, especially race car drivers, bull riders, mountain climbers, want to be tough. He did the thing that was smart, and I have a lot of respect. My gut feeling, as I teased you at the top of the show, my gut feeling, you listen to Dale Earnhardt Jr. talk, the people at Hendrick Motorsports talk, Dale himself as he expresses concern about his own health. My gut feeling for this week and what will happen in Indianapolis, suit up Jeff Gordon. That's what I think is going to happen. I have no official word, nothing more than a gut instinct and listening to how people talk and what they're saying. That's what I think we're going to see. I think you're going to see JG in the 88 this weekend for the Brickyard 400. Nothing more than a gut prediction. In between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Vicki Miller, Paul Bloffus, Steve Zonger, and myself all writing. A new feature is our podcasts are now posted on the site. Tonight's will be up soon. Have a look at SpeedwayReport.com for some articles, reads, program podcasts. My last two columns were published in the American Auto Racing Writers and Broadcasters Association newsletter about supporting your local short track and motorsports history. They're on SpeedwayReport.com. They took up most of the content of the newsletter this month. Cool about that. Check out SpeedwayReport.com. Jeff Gelder, thanks for the production work behind the scenes and on the air.
You're welcome, buddy. My pleasure.
You can hear more from Jeff and Racers Reunion tomorrow night, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History. We nicknamed the Goat Rodeo right here, Racers Reunion Radio. Making an Impact with Free Pennington will kick off tomorrow night's broadcasting at 6:30 Eastern Time. Big thanks to Corey LaJoy for joining us tonight. 1 week from tonight, we will visit with rising star in the Mazda Road to Indy. Christian Aleiso will join us. Christian races midgets and is looking to take the next step up to the USF 2000 series as he reaches for an eventual shot at the Indy 500. Thank you to everyone on RacersReunion.com chat rooms for tuning in, both the stock car site and the drag racing site. It's good to be back after summer break and part of your family. Legend, love you. Appreciate you tuning in, man. Thanks for letting me tease you. I want to thank all the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion Radio, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been listening to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. All of our NHRA and drag racing friends that appreciate great music, stay tuned right here for Bill Pratt, John Bockelman, and Barb Santucci on Racing and Rockin' with DragList.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report, and follow me on Twitter at SpeedwayPat. For Jeff Gelder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back live in 1 week, and we'll talk about Indianapolis, Eldora, short track racing, and a visit with rising IndyCar hopeful Christian Aleiso. Thank you all for listening. Good night. They rock, drive it like a guitar.